So far, during these first 22 days of this special year of consecrated life, we have reflected on the evangelical counsels of poverty and chastity. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, I would like to reflect on the last of the evangelical counsels, the counsel of obedience. Now, I don't know if you know, but there's a hierarchy to the counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. In poverty, we give over our things in life to the Lord. He can rule over my possessions, my car, condo, and computer, my checkbook, savings account, and IRA, my boat, house, farm, and business. All that I have and call my own, I give to the Lord so He can use it any way He wants. And if we're honest, all of my things belong to God anyway. I'm only His manager. In chastity, we give to God our body. My body doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. What I look at, what I hear, what I say, what I touch is under the guidance of Almighty God. When, or even if, God would like me to cooperate with Him in bringing new life into the world is up to Him. And how many children He would like me to have for His honor and glory is up to Him. He can decide. So you see, in poverty, we give God our possessions. In chastity, we give Him our bodies, especially that power we have to cooperate with Him in bringing forth new life. In obedience, we give Him our souls. And what is the greatest power of the soul? Our will, the power we have to choose. It's the will that believes, and it's the will that loves. So poverty, chastity, and obedience help us to give ourselves totally to Jesus, totus tuus. In poverty, we give Him our possessions. In chastity, we give Him our bodies. In obedience, we give Him our souls, our wills, what we want to do and where we want to go and how we want to do it. Now, in our modern world, I think personally that obedience is the most difficult of all the three evangelical counsels. Our dear young people have a difficult time being obedient to their parents and teachers, and wives have a difficult time being obedient to their husbands, and parishioners have a difficult time being obedient to their pastors, and priests have a difficult time being obedient to their bishop, and seminarians don't want to be obedient to the rector, and postulants and novices don't want to be obedient to the mother superior, and citizens don't want to be obedient to the laws of the state or the nations. Obedience is really difficult. Yes, the world sings with Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way." The world's theme song is the theme song for the television show Laverne and Shirley. We're gonna do it our way. Yes, our way. Make all our dreams come true. We're gonna do it our way. Yes, our way. And in the midst of this terrible, we're going to do it my way attitude, stands the powerful witness of consecrated religious nuns and monks, sisters and brothers who say, "I'm going to do it God's way." Radical, total obedience. If the Mother Superior says, "Clean the latrine," then I'm going to clean the latrine. If the abbot says, "I want you to answer telephones all day for the rest of your life," then I answer telephones all day for the rest of my life. Total, radical obedience. One of my apostolic works in the seminary was working with the missionaries of charity at one of their homes for the poor. And I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be glorious, working with the poor and making a difference in their lives. And I would show up at the home for the poor, and one of the sisters would say, "Father, I want you to cut vegetable." So I chopped vegetables for 2 hours. And then sister would say, "Father, I want you to move boxes of clothes." So I moved boxes and boxes of clothes for weeks and weeks. And then I would show up and sister would say, Father, I want you to sweep the floor. So I swept the floor. And I said, when am I going to help the poor? I haven't even seen a poor person. I want to tell them how much God loves them. But God had a different plan for me in helping the poor. Wasn't on my radar screen. It's not what I thought. He wanted me to be obedient, even in little things. Our inspiration and example of obedience is our Blessed Mother. Mary comes to us this week perfectly obedient. She probably would never have guessed in a million years that she was going to be asked one day by the Archangel Gabriel to be the Mother of God. It was not on her radar. It was not on her bucket list. She probably never would have guessed in a million years that she would conceive a baby boy in her womb while remaining always and at all times a virgin. And although Mary doesn't completely understand it, and although she knows it's going to be very difficult, she obediently says, be it done unto me according to your word. And I've always imagined Mary saying that beautiful phrase very unlike the way you tell your parents you're going to clean your room, pick up your toys, and unload the dishwasher. Let it be done to me according to your will. I would guess that Mary did not respond like you tell your boss when he asks you to move to a different department or to change the procedure of how you do things. Be it done unto me according to your will. I would guess that Mary did not talk to the angel like a priest tells his bishop when the bishop asks him to move to a different assignment before his perfect assignment is completed. Be it done to me according to your will. I don't think Mary said it that way. I think she said it joyfully, with absolute total sense of abandonment to God's plan. Be it done unto me according to your word. And as you know from our previous weeks of reflection, our Lord proposes the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience to every disciple. Not just to Mary, not just to vowed, consecrated religious men and women. All of us are called by the Lord to be perfectly obedient to him. Jesus says to the crowds, not just a private little conversation with the 12 apostles. Jesus says to the crowds, to the multitude, none of those who cry out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus himself prays in the Garden of Gethsemane the most perfect, the most powerful prayer of all. And if you know what intercessory prayer is really all about, then this is the only prayer of petition you ever need to say. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. That's difficult. That's really difficult. I find it to be really difficult. In truth, I find all the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience to be very difficult. I don't do very well at them all the time. I'm falling down constantly trying to live these three virtues. My only recourse, my only remedy is to go to Jesus. My only remedy is to go to confession and to beg the Lord for his mercy for the times I haven't been poor, chaste, and obedient. Often I need to take my soul into the confessional for a spiritual oil change and have the Lord drain out the old dirty oil from my soul, which we call sin, and have him pour into my soul new clean oil of his supernatural grace. Thanks be to God that he is born for us. to save us from our sins. The angel said, you will call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. The comfort and joy knowing that we have a beautiful Savior who forgives us and helps us to live poorly, chastely, and obediently. With a soul cleansed from sin in the sacrament of penance, then we can say with St. Paul in his letter to the Romans, to him who can strengthen you to live poorly, chastely, and obediently in this world, to him who can strengthen you to bring about the obedience of faith, to him, the only wise God, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen.